For my Year 12 history option, I have conducted an interview with the president of the Dandenong RSL, Mr. Jim Hardy. Mr. Hardy has been president of the Dandenong RSL for 2 years and has signed up for next year's presidency. The RSL is an organisation which helps returned soldiers and their families. The Dandenong RSL has been operating since 1917 and will celebrate its 75th anniversary next year.
When did the Dandenong RSL first begin?
It began in 1916 and it was formed by, actually, it was called the Returned Soldiers when they came back from Anzac. The ones that were sick and wounded, they came back from Anzac and France and they formed what they called a group of returned service, returned soldiers rather, and it was formed here, and our first president was Mr. Taylor, and he was our president for many, many years, and he was one of the stalwarts of forming a thing, and it became a charter when after the war, after the First World War, 1919, a lot of the sub-branches that were formed in different towns and areas became integrated into the Victorian RSL, and they formed a headquarters in Melbourne, and that would be 1919-1920. See, some of the chaps didn't get back from the war till 1919 or late 1918 or late 1990. I had two uncles, and my father was there. He went to France for a short time, and they got back after the war. My father came back first. But in Dandenong, we've been going practically the 75 years with the RSL.
And how was the RSL funded when it first began?
Well, it was from donation and friends, and they're self-supporting really, and after the First World War, there could have been some government assistance, I'm not sure of that, I think we bought the building there in Common Street by public subscription, where Anzac House is now.
And is the RSL still funded this way?
Yes. Mostly, yes. We have women's auxiliaries and that, and they work for welfare, and we do get some subsidy for various projects that we run, like scholarships and all that. We get some of that from government sources, state and federal.
Right. And what are the functions and aims of the Dandenong RSL?
Well, we're here really to look after the ex-servicemen and with welfare and assistance with funerals and all those things, and we can get a government subsidy for that, for a funeral, and also some from Anzac House. And we look after people who are in the working, people who are in need. When we can find out, a lot of them are very independent and they won't tell us that they're a bit destitute, and we very rarely give cash funds or money. We give in kind, like food and all that sort of thing, assistance to the children's schooling. It's not given as a cash thing really, because it could be misused by the husband or the father, and not go to where we want to go. So we fill up refrigerators and all that sort of thing.
Do you feel the Dandenong RSL has helped the returned servicemen of this area?
Yes, I'm pretty certain of that. In my period of time here, there's been a lot done, and it's on our charter. Excuse me, our aim that we look after the everybody, the widows and all. And if you want to go further on with that, I'll just mention a couple of things. Legacy grew out of the First World War. People come back from the First World War and they formed a legacy group to help the children of the soldiers that were killed or came back incapacitated and then died, and they look after the children, they school them, pay for their schooling and their legacy, and then they also look after the war widows. Like if I died, and well, they look after my wife, like after the war, like any time. If I died last week, well, they'd be the first people probably to visit my wife to assist her in every way, legally and every other performance. It's an offshoot, if you want to say that, but it doesn't belong to the RSS. It was started by a group of soldiers who decided that they could help. And then it's carry on, which they look after the widows. They sponsor young people through school and one thing other. Legacy do that. Yeah.
How do the number of members now compare with those after the World War?
Well, the Second World War saw a big growth, naturally, of thousands of men. Dandenong now has, I'd say, roughly 900 ex-servicemen as members here, and I'd say in 1940 or 1939 they might have had 50 live ones, active people. When the war started, when the Second World War started, we found that a number of persons then joined the RSL because the Second World War stirred up their enthusiasm again, and so therefore it's mostly our losses are through the common factor of death, that we lose so many. In 3 years here we lost 103. Run through 3 years, 37, 33 and 30. Well, that makes it only massive. 103. Last year, I don't know how it came about, but it was only 14 died at members, of our members. The ones we know, we could find out.
In what ways, if any, did the Depression affect the organisation?
Well, it was a very, very bad period in our history, the Depression, and so many people were out of work, and the older ones that came back from the First World War with no actual trade. There was a lot of manual labour in the early days of the century, and it affected to the fact that we were cap in hand trying to help them financially with meals and all that. It was, and people couldn't pay their membership, low as it was then, to the RSM, and they fell away. And that's what I mentioned earlier, where the resurgence came when the Second World War started. And work was becoming more readily available from about 1938. Mm.
Do the Vietnam soldiers get involved in the RSL?
Yes, we have not by any means, not all at all. No, there are some, and there are, we have three or four here only, and over at Glen Waverley, just to quote something in passing, that there's an area where 95 live in a given area in that district, and there are six of them members of the RSL. And we also have a couple in on the council in Anzac House. So the young men, that's what we need now. We're getting a bit old, that's all.
How do the attitudes of the Vietnam soldiers differ from those of World War I and World War II soldiers?
I think the unfortunate, I blame a lot of it to the media expression, a war we didn't have to have or a war we didn't have to go to, and yet we became involved through our association with the American allies, and it seemed at that stage that they took numbers instead of voluntary soldiers, they were conscripts, and a lot of them did volunteer by the same token, and I think that created a problem within the community, because we had the memorandums and the big marches through the city, moratoriums, and created a break in our allegiance to one another as a country, and that didn't help. I'm getting a bit political there. It's very true.
In what ways has the Dandenong RSL changed over the past 75 years?
Well, one of the things mostly noticed is that owing to the age factor, we're seeing less on our members. The point being that, well, I won't go out tonight, it's a bit cold, and we're all getting to that age group. In 1940, some of the younger ones that went were 16, 16 and a half. I was 16 and a half year old with my group. And we have a member here, he joined in 1941 or 1940, and late 1940, and he was only 16. And he was the man I was going to come into the group, Dick Townsend. And, but fellows like myself, 28, some 30, some 40 years of age, and some chaps that have come back from the First World War, who are rather a bit younger than most, rejoin. So does that answer that?
Do you feel these changes have anything to do with the Vietnam soldiers and the fact that membership of World War I and World War II soldiers declines due to what you mentioned before the age?
Yeah, well, they come back to know the Vietnam boys came back here to not a very great reception from the general public. And they had a chip on their shoulder. They reckon they earned recognition through their campaigns, which I agree they did, for sure. And they become isolated. And a lot of it is they felt isolated and cut off, and they maintain that mentality, and it's very difficult to talk to someone to realise that they've got an association of their own, which is really doing a lot of good work, but if they combine in with the RSL, it may be quicker established and more far-reaching.
Mm-hmm. How do you see the future of the RSL as the population gets older, and as you mentioned before, the age?
Yeah, well, it's very difficult, I'll tell you. That's why we'd appreciate it if the Vietnam boys would come in mass to the RSL. There's something here that's been established that they will be responsible for in a few years' time. And the more of them that join, the stronger we'll be. But we'll be losing numbers, there's no doubt about that. We're getting smaller. A lot of people say we'll die out and RSL will be nothing, more or less. But we're endeavouring to keep the flag flying.
What is the role of women in the RSL today?
Well, the people that serve, like nurses and the army girls, and the Air Force lasses, are entitled to join the RSL now. On this badge of mine here, I cut that off, show that out. They can join the RSL. and some of them are very active. They have their own associations, the Air Force Association, the Navy, and sisters of nursing, nurses from hospitals. They're very strong in their own associations, and also now they can join the RSL. It is now called the Return and Services League, not the Return Services. It's one time it was RSILLA, the Army, Navy, Air Force Association. And the ladies in, we have what is called the Women's Auxiliary. I always thought it was ladies, but they tell me for sure it's the Women's Auxiliary. That was formed many, many years ago, after the First World War, and they were the wives of, or mothers of, servicemen, and it was extended in recent times that anybody, you can even join the Women's Auxiliary, and they have their own functions, raising money that goes to welfare and benevolent funds within the year. And they work for the, we have homes built with government assistance. There's a big one in Frankston, there's a ladies one at St Kilda. Burnerang House we sold because we couldn't get people to go to live and stay in the country. It was up outside Heathcote in Victoria, and we had them in various states, and they worked to get funds to sponsor those fathers. We got a Derby and Joan place at Cheltenham where married couples go to retire into like their little units.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for giving me some of your time and helping me with my history option. Thank you.
Good, I thank you too, Joanne. And I'm glad you pursued this.
And that concludes my interview with the president of the Dandenong RSL, Mr. Jim Hardy. I'd like to thank Mr. Hardy once again for his time. Speaking to him has given me a basic understanding and knowledge on how the Dandenong RSL operates, and this will help me with writing up my report and essay.